Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Well, we're seeing signs of the absolute historic decimation by Congress, by Joe Biden, of the real estate market. These incredible stats this morning. First-time home buyers hit a historic low. And what that is every year there's a certain percentage of home buyers that are first-timers. Lowest ever recorded. 24% of everybody buying a home is a first-timer. That's down from, get this, 32% last year.
Wow.
Home buyers' ages, average age, hit an all-time high of 56 years. It was 49 last year, and I made much of that because that's shocking. I mean, basically, you've got gray in your hair if you're buying a house now. You're the only one who can afford to.
Yeah. You've got to be on the upper end of the income scale and the upper end of your earnings career to be able to afford it.
And to show you how this is eroding, last year, first, the average age of a first-time home buyer was 35. I bought my first home at 22. Last year, the average age of a home buyer was 35. Now it is 38 years old, first-time home buyer. That is late to be buying a home for the first time. And they're saying it's two things. It's the inflation that has hit housing prices, but it's also the 7% interest rate, which is very fake at this point. Because it's just a runaway terrorist at the head of the Fed who is, you know, he's just a Democrat and he wants to hurt Trump any way he can. He doesn't care what the inflation report says. I hope, please God, it's good today when it comes out. I hope that it's what we think it'll be, which is around 2.7%. That's pretty historic. It's beneath 3%. We'd like to see it where Trump left it when Biden took office, which is 2.4% on the low side historically. But this is a disaster for America. The America Dream is on life support for first-time home buyers. And you look at it another way, the average home price is now $422,000. Lee, that's right at twice what it was when Chairman Ho took office and sold out the American Dream by printing, you know, in addition to the budgets, about $1 trillion every quarter, with Jerome Powell, our Federal Reserve Chairman, saying that inflation was transitory, don't worry about it, keep printing money, nothing will happen. And we were at about 4% then, it went to 9%. So this is just, it's a disaster. To put it in a different way, the number of first-time home buyers in 2004 was 3.2 million, like the raw number. The number today, 1.14 million.
Oof.
That's 2024. Obviously, we don't have 25 yet. So 2004, 3.2 million. Last year, 1.14 million. This is simply a thing Americans can't do. And I can remember being shocked by this because my first job was working for a construction company right out of school. And so I was used to seeing grading and construction equipment. So I started noticing it. And I went to Europe with my cousins and we did a road trip. So we went all clear across, the UK, into Ireland. So I never saw construction equipment. I never saw a single construction site. I didn't see a grading site. I was like, wow, what the heck? Nobody buys houses there because nobody builds houses there because nobody can afford to. If you are going to be so lucky as to ever own a home, that's why they call it a flat. A flat is a rental place. If you're so lucky to do that, you're not going to do it till you're in your 40s. Well, I have a huge sprawling family. So we stayed with distant family members and relatives for a lot of that trip. And only one of them owned the home. And that is because his home had been passed down through 3 generations. This was in the UK. This was a distant cousin of mine. He was so proud that he owned this home. And I hate to say, I was like, wow, my parents would never have lived here. It still had the 1970s, like, orangey shag carpet. Still had all of the, like, wallpaper because they couldn't afford to renovate.
Yeah.
This is, the guy, Lee, he had a college degree. He was middle class.
Mm-hmm.
That is Europe. I was shocked by it as a young person. Because I came over there and I looked at that. I already owned a home. I was 23 years old. I started renovating and flipping homes. It wasn't a big deal to do it here. And I told him, I own a home already. I'm trying to buy another one. There was a property I was fixing up, and he couldn't believe it. And we sat and talked about it. And I said, where is the construction equipment? Do you have construction here? Are you building anything? No, they're not. Not anywhere. Not in the small towns, not in the big towns, not in the big cities. Everything is old, and that's why we love it. It's quaint. This is what socialism does. This is what a 20% VAT tax at every point in production does. It decimates the American dream. You're watching it right now. So this is why, and I think this is a really bad idea on Trump's part, but I know why he's doing it. He wants to privatize Fannie and Freddie, but have the taxpayer back any losses. Well, that will set the home buyer market a rolling again, but it's also going to lead to another real estate crisis. That's exactly how we got the first one. But that's a level of desperation here. And it's going to be interesting to see if we've got historically normal inflation in this report, which I hope we do. Is Jerome Powell just going to put his hands over his ears, Lee, and go, nah, 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 nah?
Well, apparently so, because he was willing to lower interest rates right before an election when a Democrat was in office.
Right, right, sure.
But now when you need it to get the economy moving where it should be and get it back on the right track, he's not willing to do so. So it's just been hilarious. I mean, you have to laugh at this about Trump's comments about Powell and just.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not. He's not wrong at all.
This is a political, yeah, not an economic attack on right. The American economy. Anything to hurt Trump, anything to slow him down.
And I wish I could remember the exact quote and the exact numbers, but Trump was making the point the other day where every 1% interest rate percentage cost the U.S. economy trillions of dollars,
yep,
in interest payments.
And the really scary thing is the trillions of dollars that we have to refinance at really high rates, yep, for really no reason of any kind, other than that Jerome Powell doesn't like Donald Trump.
And the feeling's mutual.
Yeah. And it's just, it's extremely frustrating because it's going to be a problem. And that's all coming due in the next, we're down to what, six, seven months?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if Jerome Powell doesn't, but if Trump sounds frantic, it's not just that Jerome Powell is single-handedly, fakely continuing the destruction of the real estate market, but it's also that he's got to refi that federal debt. We could have a real debt crisis on our hands, mm-hmm, for no reason other than partisan hatred. Texter writes, hey, Tara, is a divorced woman at 51. I can't afford a home. I can't even afford rent. I know, I get it.
Well, I don't know how any single, unless you are really, really doing well.
Yeah.
I don't see how any single person can afford rent, like you say, let alone the house payment.
I know. I just remember the way that it used to be, and it's incredibly frustrating that it's just that we're like this now. We've got to fix this American dream, because the home ownership part of it is dying. And the only way that, I'll tell you who's buying houses, the only people who can are people who owned houses when Joe Biden took office, mm-hmm, because their housing values were so inflated that they have, you know, they have equity.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only people who can afford it. Otherwise, forget it. Good luck.
Yeah, that was the case for my daughter and son-in-law in Charlotte.
I mean, I'm looking at...
They just recently bought a new house that they built there about a year ago.
How'd they do that? How many jobs are they working?
Well, both of them work, and both of them are doing quite well.
They'd have to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And really,
they've been smart for some time.
I mean, I'm looking at these homes in my neighborhood I just moved into just a few years ago, and these were like $200,000 to $300,000 right. homes,
yeah.
right? I mean... Nice, but not anything special, right? I mean, one of them just sold for $600,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's nothing special.
Yeah.
It's a good school district, but that, right. I mean, there's nothing special. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah, it's got some brick on the exterior on one, but that's it. I'm like, whoa, dude, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I was looking at our insurance policy the other day, our homeowner's insurance policy, and we built our house in the early 90s. And I mean, it's like 1,700 square foot, nothing all that big. I think we borrowed $80,000 to build it. I mean, I think that was the total cost, rather.
Wait, wow.
And now I think they said my homeowner's insurance policy for, because we have replacement cost, and I think it's like $325,000 now.
Mm. And, you know, I mean, you've got to put blame where blame is, you know, due. Congress did a lot of this,
yeah,
and That is why I passionately screamed and yelled while everyone said shut up about the big, beautiful bill, because if Trump doesn't get that 3% growth, he's cooked.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to these people.
Well, we have a much better chance of getting this done.
Yes.
If Powell will do what Trump is looking to do with lowering the interest rates.
And that hurts every part of the economy, not just housing.
And everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, and that's the goal. And then he wants to turn around and lie and claim it's because of tariffs. And then the guy's like, well, tariffs will cause inflation. I explain why that tariffs would not cause inflation. They cannot cause inflation. That is impossible. The only thing that can cause inflation is the printing of money. That's it. It makes every dollar worth less. Simple definition of inflation. Powell knows that. He's lying. Well, then he didn't get the inflation he wanted from tariffs. So now he's playing new word games. This guy has got to go. Texture rates, hey, wow. Hey, Tara, I make $160,000. My wife makes $70,000, and with two kids, home, and two cars, we live paycheck to paycheck.
Doesn't surprise me.
Wow. Texture rates, amazing. The number of people who are single I know who are in their mid to late 30s who still have roommates because of the expense. I know. It's hurting family formation, too. It's hurting fertility. It's just, they need to stop. Folks, I cannot emphasize enough how stunning what just happened is and how cool it is simultaneously, because it sure looked like the statute of limitations had expired on two of the biggest criminals in Washington, who unfortunately are the heads of the CIA and the FBI, John Brennan and James Comey. But that was until this. Do you remember back when Hillary Clinton got caught with the classified email scandal and the FBI had to work all weekend to clear her, go through all of her emails, but then assure us Hillary hadn't broken the law? No, no. Well, it turns out she had, and they hid the evidence to protect her and then cleared her. Take a listen to this. 8 years later, John Solomon breaks the news yesterday.
The Inspector General report on Hillary Clinton's email that reveals that the United States Intelligence Community got new evidence of possible criminality in the Hillary Clinton email scandal, but did not pursue it just before James Comey cleared her of all criminal wrongdoing. That has stayed secret for 8 years. Chuck Grassley, the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman, has been relentlessly pursuing it. He has President Trump's ear. I think that's going to get declassified in the next few days. That will show that there was reason to pursue Hillary Clinton, not clear her, and not pursue Donald Trump. They should have not ever investigated him for Russia collusion.
So here's what's going on. The FBI has, under Kash Patel, quietly launched an investigation into a decade of Democrat Party and deep state hoaxes, antics, and conspiracies to affect elections, opening the door for an appointment of a special prosecutor. So what are they doing? When you look at individual crimes, yes, the statute of limitations is passed. When you look at criminal conspiracies, statute of limitations starts running when they end. We just found this. In other words, if the cover-up is ongoing, it's still going on. Statute of limitations still intact. And this amounts, Solomon writes, to a criminal conspiracy to meddle in not one, not two, but three U.S. elections to the benefit of the Democrats and the detriment of Donald Trump by covering up the crimes of Hillary Clinton. There's so many different interesting tentacles here, too. Since this was a cover-up, the question then legal, and somebody is going to have to answer this, could Hillary still be prosecuted? Because, again, since the cover-up is ongoing, statute of limitations, so we'd have to show she's part of a conspiracy. That shouldn't be too hard to do, though. This grand conspiracy case was apparently opened quietly several weeks ago by Kash Patel over at the FBI. And it could get, they say, we're going to get into this in a second, a significant boost if Trump were to declassify two secret tranches of evidence that identify the ignition point of the conspiracy of the summer of 2016. So that's the first half of it, right? Here's the second thing that has just come to light. This has to do with the CIA.
The second piece of classified evidence that could be released is referred to by John Durham as the Clinton Plan Intelligence. It's an intercept 5 days before the FBI opened up Crossfire Hurricane that Hillary Clinton was about to concoct a Russian scandal and try to pretend that Vladimir Putin was helping Donald Trump win the election. That means that the CIA, the FBI, and President Obama himself personally was aware that what Hillary Clinton was doing was a ruse, a political dirty trick, and still James Comey's FBI opened up on the information. If those two pieces of evidence get declassified so grand jurors can see it, Pam Bondi names a special prosecutor, we could be rolling by the end of this week.
In other words, okay, you can't open it. This would be like the Greenville police. No, I did not rob a bank. They know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, but they just don't like me. They don't like the show. They don't like the things I say. I'm sure that's not true. I know they're some of my biggest fans, at least the guys in the cars are. But they know that, and they open an investigation into me. That is an unpredicated investigation. It is also a conspiracy. It fits federal conspiracy charges, particularly if you are trying to scuttle an election. You're not just confused, or there was, you know, some charging documents lost in the paperwork or some evidence lost somewhere in a locker and you just got confused. No, this is a conspiracy to affect an election. Now, listen to this. There's thing number three that this special prosecutor would look at. Oh, this is the one that really gets me excited, too. The part where China was engaged in a scheme to create fake mail-in ballots in 2020 to help Joe Biden win. The FBI not only failed to investigate it or stop it, they even recalled and destroyed intelligence and asked fellow spy agencies who knew about it to destroy it too. Now, remember, it's two parts to that. There's the whoever the person was that came to them with the intelligence, hey, China has stolen millions of identities off TikTok. They're using them to make licenses that are indistinguishable from the real thing because they have the real data. We caught 19,000 of those licenses being snuck in by the Chinese at Chicago O'Hare. FBI wiped all evidence of it from their servers and lied to Congress about it. Again, what is that? That is three elections worth of conspiracy level election tampering. It's illegal. So you're going to come at this to get around statute of limitations on the conspiracy charges. I like it. So what's the holdup? What's the problem here? Hold on, Tim. I got to get to this because I got to explain this to the people. To me, JFK assassination, Epstein, documents, whatever, not as big or bizarre a mystery as why Trump didn't declassify these documents in his first term. I will never understand it. And I'm not sure he's going to do it now. Wait. Isn't this evidence they committed a conspiracy-level crime against him? Yes. Isn't this evidence they faked the Russia hoax to influence the election? Yes. He could have declassified it last time, but he didn't. And I know Lee is listening to this news right now. Me and him went, why, all through 2020. He dragged his heels. He appointed Bill Barr to go through and, you know, blackout stuff. Names of agents and stuff, sources and methods. Said, it'll be out by spring. I'm declassified. I order it declassified. Didn't come out. Summer rolled around. I begin to panic. Where is it? You've got to declassify this. People think you and Putin stole the election. Nope. Election rolls around. I think, well, he's waiting to the weeks before the election. Everybody thought that. No. He protects these people by not declassifying. The most boneheaded, jaw-dropping, there's no words for it. And I thought, well, he's a lame duck. He's lost now. By the way, I think it cost him the election because over half of Americans went to the polls. They told exit pollsters believing that Putin had helped Trump steal that last election from Hillary. Total lie. Finally, we get to the final days of the Trump administration and he and Mark Meadows start frantically trying to declassify. It was too late. In fact, I'm pretty sure the raid on Mar-a-Lago was actually to try to find the binder that's missing. It's the Russia hoax binder, the Crossfire Hurricane binder with a lot of this in it. So you would think Trump will declassify. You would think that. And finally get us justice. But folks, I put it at 50-50. I've heard this from Trump before. Why would he keep it secret? And by the way, we're 6 months in. Still not declassified, but maybe this will do it. Finally, we go to war with Russia the way I've wanted to, economically. We fought the dumbest war possible with Russia up till now, mainly under Joe Biden. By the end of it, in a desperate last-minute scramble to launch World War III, because that's what it was, hurling missiles deep inside Russia, killing civilians, which we did. You have to read non-U.S. media to find out what we did. It was awful, and we did it. Wasn't Ukraine, wasn't NATO, it was us. We were running the whole mess from a war room in Battenberg staffed by our generals. We were at war with Russia. So when folks tell you, oh, Ukraine, wow, Russia's weak, Ukraine was beating them. No, that was us. That's not Ukraine. Zelensky's just an actor. He wanders around in that silly costume. We were fighting Ukraine for Ukraine. They were just the cover. The Biden administration determined to get into World War III with Russia. Folks, we have never, and I'm talking entire Cold War, been at more risk than we were in November and December of last year. As the left, the worldwide left, led by Chairman Ho's near-dead corpse, tried to escalate the war to a point Trump couldn't extract himself out of it. And that's, remember, he spent most of the transition at Mar-a-Lago. You'd see Mark Rutte fly in the head of NATO, and he kept, you know, civilization from ending, basically. But Trump's patience with Russia has worn thin. And the reason Trump has long thought of Russia as a victim is because they are. No, they are. This was a war started by Barack Obama. And Victor Davis Hanson nails this today, yesterday, actually, when he says, listen, they faked the Russia collusion hoax and then used it as a pretext to put six CIA bases on the Russian border. That's New York Times is my source on that. And roll tanks up and park them along with troops on the Russian border to menace them. That is why Russia's like, oh, heck no. We need a buffer zone between us and these lunatics. First, they make up a pretext. We stole the election. We're colluding with Trump. Now they got tanks on our border. And Victor Davis Hanson was right. Had John Brennan and James Comey not made up the Russia collusion hoax in partnership with Hillary in a criminal way, we probably wouldn't have a war in Ukraine. But Trump's got to solve it. And he's had quite enough of Vladimir Putin, and so have I. So Putin needs to come to the table, and he's looking at, he's got 50 days to either make a deal or we hit him with 100% tariffs. But wait, there's so much more here than meets the eye. Because let me tell you what pushed Trump over the edge. It wasn't Putin's latest prevarication or whatever. Like, yeah, he's screaming about, well, Putin is bombing Ukraine. Yeah, so what? NATO's bombing Putin, killing civilians too. It's tit for tat, never ends. Ukraine's done the biggest, NATO is what it is, bombing runs of the war. And in response, Russia's done the biggest bombing runs back. I mean, I can't even keep track of anymore of who's more evil, honestly, between the two of them. It's hard to say. But Trump just did a brilliant thing on several levels. Here's the first level of the brilliant thing that he just did. Harley Lipman laid this out. He is the CEO of, I'll pull this up. He's the CEO of Genesis 10, and he was this morning on Fox News. Take a listen.
It's brilliant because the United States is not paying for it. If you remember, during his campaign, a lot of people were wondering, why are we spending billions and billions of dollars when this is a war in Europe's backyard? Now Europe is paying for it. So he accomplished his campaign promise, and this is really going to move things towards peace.
Yes, but so they're paying us for the missiles. Folks, why were we giving them all this money before? Why were we giving? They would pay? Well, who knew? God, we're so stupid. Democrats, y'all. It's just Democrats. Okay, that's thing number one. You want to know what pushed Trump over the edge? It's not anything with Putin and prevaricating, although that got on his nerves. No, it's what happened the beginning of this month. The BRICS countries got together and were like, hey, how do we destroy America's currency? And do you know who was there? Oh, this burns me. Yeah, I expect it from China and Russia. India? What? Trump just forced the transfer of the entire Apple supply chain and manufacturing from China to India, which we needed to do to protect the intellectual property. And India repays us by trying to destroy our currency? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Oh, I'm so mad about it. Anyway, Trump clearly is too. So you know what he just did, right? Putin's got 50 days to come to the table. This is going to fracture the three-way alliance, or he's hoping it will. And guess who gets secondary tariffs if they're still buying stuff from Russia? You got it, India. What helps India have the upper hand over us in manufacturing? Artificially cheap energy, including oil and natural gas. Where they get that from? Not all of it, but some of it. Russia. So this lets Trump totally crack down on India. I mean, whipsaw them with Russia as the excuse. Well, you know, you don't have to buy it from Russia. Shame about you trying to destroy our currency, isn't it? Yeah, you're going to have to find a more expensive source of energy. It is an absolute masterstroke move in just geopolitical strategy. Because it's so much bigger than, oh, we need Russia to make a deal with Ukraine. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's part of it, but that's not all. And folks, can you see, let me explain something to you. Because Russia was sanctioned by Joe Biden, the value of their energy went down compared to what's on the world market, because Russia's not allowed to have it on the world market, right? But what Joe did by sanctioning Russia was help China, because he didn't put secondary sanctions on Russia, I'm sorry, on India and China. So China could go buy really cheap oil, really cheap natural gas, use it to compete against us in manufacturing. And Joe Biden left the back door open on purpose because he got paid the $30 million, probably closer to $50. It was actually Hunter who cast the check, but who cares? Anyway, that was the scheme. And so Russia got the money for the Ukraine war. Hunter got to have the hose and the cocaine. Joe Biden got to be 10% for the big guy, and everybody was happy. Well, all our enemies anyway. Not anymore. Trump just closed the back door. They got 50 days. I love using tariffs for geopolitical strategy. But the person I want to hit more than anybody right now, just because of the burn I've got on for them right now, is India. How dare they? And we're sitting here like idiots about to approve a whole nother tranche of HB1 visas. Microsoft fires, what, like 6,000 people, including thousands of engineers. We're going to hire Indian ones. If those get approved, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind. We have got to stop this hiring Indian engineer stuff till every one of ours is employed. Even the deadbeats. I don't care. You know, it's a source of endless amusement to me. At one point, Fox News not only blacked out Donald Trump from appearing. This was, you know, after January 6th and the court cases and everything, blacked out Donald Trump from appearing on its network, but also blacked out all its surrogates. Lara Trump wasn't even on there. None of them. I'm watching right now. Kai Trump is announcing her new NIL partnership deal. And they've got, like, you know, she's talking about how cool it is to have her granddad be president. Oh, my gosh. During the Fox blackout, none of that would have happened. In fact, they didn't start covering Trump again until he was standing in front of the courthouse alone on the stairs because it was newsworthy during his trials. And now they're all Trump all the time. And Lara Trump's like got a gig there interviewing people. I'm just dying laughing. They wouldn't even let her on the air or Eric either. What a turnaround. It really is amazing when you look at it. Anyway, meanwhile, we've got more on Mancomi. Blaming Donald Trump. Get this. The reason for the rapid decline in tourism to New York City. What do you think it is? Tren de Aragua will hit you over the head and beat up the policeman trying to save you? No. No, no, not that. It's Donald Trump, according to Mancomi.
We know that his policies, they are not just disappearing our neighbors, detaining our friends. They are also turning the world away from our city. The rapid decline of tourists coming to this city is an issue not simply for us living up to our word as a city that welcomes the world, but it's one that has very real economic impacts for artists that are with me here today and those beyond. And so I will be proud to be the mayor of this city, to stand up for this city, and to make it clear that the world is welcome in this city.
Right. So Donald Trump's why? Because people like to be hit over the head by the 18th Street Gang, or alternatively, Tren de Aragua. They do. They love it. I mean, it's an authentic experience. You get a bagel, got little locks on it. Get over to hit over the head. They take your laptop. They take your phone. It's great. No, nobody says nobody ever. Folks, the coverage of New York City's chaos is like a day-to-day feature of the UK Daily Mail, the world's largest publication. Do you think people want to go there? Of course they don't. But whatever, it's Donald Trump. By the way, it's spreading. The disease. Oh, yeah. Now we've got a Democrat socialist running to be the mayor of Minneapolis. I'll tell you about him in the next hour. Democrats think this is the winning strategy.